Good morning and welcome to Maximo Bite Size, a podcast on the functionality of Maximo Manage. Today is the 14th episode in the series on service management, and today we will look at applying service level agreements. In the last episode on configuring service level agreements, we said that there was a matching process between the record on which an SLA will be applied and the SLAs that had been defined in the service level agreements application. To allow this matching process to proceed, the SLA has several fields and some table windows which are used as filter criteria against which the record will be evaluated before an SLA is applied. Further, what happens if multiple SLAs are matching to the details entered on the service request or work order? How does Maximo decide which is applied? Filter criteria. In the last episode, we said that the site and organization fields were being used as filter criteria. The service request must have a value in the site field to use the apply SLA action. If the service request is for the Bedford site, the SLAs which reference Bedford or organization equal NA without reference to the site, or reference no site or organization, will all be a match. We also said that service group and service fields were being used as filter criteria. If both fields have been entered on the SLA, then both field values must be on the service request for there to be a match. If both fields have been entered on the service request, then an SLA with the service group and a null service would still be a match, as would an SLA with both service group and service as null values. The applies to field, which provides the maximum object on which an SLA can be applied, can also be considered as filter criterion. But there are several other fields, which we did not mention last time. In the date section, there is a start date and an end date, which provides a period against which the SLA will be valid. The reported date on the service request will be compared against these two date fields, and if the reported date is after the start date, and before the end date, or the end date is left null, then the SLA will be considered a match. The classification field is also part of the filter criteria. The classification you enter needn't be at the end of the classification hierarchy, a leaf node, but anywhere in the classification hierarchy that makes sense. The service request will be a match if it has a classification value that is the same or lower in the classification hierarchy than the classification referenced on the SLA. There are two calendar sections, the applies to calendar and the calculation calendar. We will be returning to the calculation calendar later. The applies to calendar must have all three fields, organization, calendar and shift, entered. The reported date and time on the service request is compared with the work periods on the calendar and shift to see if it exists within a work period. For example, if the calendar was used to indicate the operational hours of a facility between 0800 and 1800, Monday to Friday, then a call received at 1600 on a Thursday would make the SLA match. But it would not be a match if a call was received at 2000 hours or on a Saturday or a Sunday. The vendor field on the SLA is also part of the matching criteria, and if used, then the organization field will also be entered. For the SLA to be a match, the service request must reference the same vendor, and the site on the service request must exist within the organization referenced on the SLA. On the Assets and Locations tab in the Service Level Agreements application, there are two other tabs, Assets and Locations and Asset Types, both of which have a table window allowing multiple records to be entered. An example where this may be used is if the response times are faster for conference rooms than other parts of the building. In the Assets and Locations table, the two fields are mutually exclusive. If you enter a location and the asset field already has a value, it will be blanked, and vice versa. The description field shows the description of either the asset or the location. If the SLA references multiple locations and or assets, then the SLA will be a match if the service request location or asset exists in the SLA's asset and locations table. Assets and locations exist in hierarchies. There is no hierarchy search, as there is in the service provider version of the service level agreements application. If you use the asset types on the SLA, then it will be a match to the service request if a service request references an asset that belongs to one of the asset types referenced. If the asset has no asset type, then the SLA which references an asset type will not be a match. When using assets or locations as SLA filter criteria, then you should consider using the site field, which will act as a filter for the locations and assets that you can enter. But there is another reason, and that is performance. When Maximo is searching the SLA table for suitable candidates that may be a match, there is an initial query which includes the site field. Then for those SLA records that are a match, Maximo needs to evaluate each one for other filter criteria, including the assets and locations referenced. There would be little point evaluating hundreds of assets and locations in the Texas site if the service request was for the Bedford site, only to find that no asset or location existed. This can be avoided if the SLA references a site. An SLA that references multiple assets and locations from different sites should be avoided. Instead, duplicate and make each SLA site specific. You might have been thinking up to now, where do I enter the priority in the service level agreements application? The final part of the filter criteria is in the additional SLA criteria section, which has just one field for entering a SQL WHERE clause that you can build using the SQL expression builder. For example, if you entered internal priorities less than or equal to 2, then the SLA will be a match to the service request if it had an internal priority of either 1 or 2. If it had no internal priority, the SLA would not be a match. As we conclude this section on the filter criteria, you must now have realized that you should not apply an SLA too early in the process of entering a service request or work order. If most of your SLAs are using the classification and internal priority as filter criteria, then a service request needs to have those two fields populated before the apply SLA action is used. If you are using SLAs, then it is worth considering making the fields mandatory on a service request or work order where they are used in the matching process. Tie the mandatory state of these fields to a status change, and then apply the SLA after the record has changed to this status. Applying an SLA. You apply a service level agreement using the Apply SLA action on the ticket and work order based applications. This could also be achieved via an escalation or by using workflow. The matching process considers all the filter criteria mentioned earlier. If there are multiple filter criteria, then all of them must evaluate to true for there to be a match to the record where the SLA is being applied. From a SQL point of view, consider this as having a logical AND between each part of the filter criteria, not an OR. For multiple locations or assets referenced on the SLA, think of this as having a logical OR between these records. The service request asset or location only needs to exist in the SLA table for it to be a match. Note, the matching process for the service provider version of the service level agreements application is different, particularly in the area around the handling of locations and assets. I strongly recommend thorough testing and preferably trapping the WHERE clauses used in a SQL log to thoroughly understand how the matching process works. Knowing the full extent of the initial query can help you improve performance. When Maximo has evaluated the SLA to see which is a match to the service request, by default only one SLA can be applied, and it uses the ranking field to evaluate this. Here the highest rank is 1, I would use a range between 1 and 100 and start in the middle at 50, as this allows you to give some SLAs a higher rank and others a lower rank. Try to avoid a rank of 1, as when you are testing the matching of SLAs, you would be constantly having to change the SLA with a rank of 1 just to prove that a new SLA does match. Let's assume an SLA has been found with the highest rank. The next step is that it is applied to the service request and a record is entered in the SLA records table, and the SLA applied checkbox will be set. If you scroll down to the dates section, you'll find that one or multiple of the target contact, target start, or target finish fields will have been calculated and set. The same principle holds for work orders, except there is no target contact date. The dates that are calculated are based on the commitments you made on the SLA, in particular the contact, response, and resolution type commitments. If a response was 4 hours and the reported date was 1500 on a Thursday, then it does not necessarily mean that the target start will be at 1900. It would if there was no applies to calendar or calculation calendar, as 24 hours a day times 365 days would be assumed. The calculation calendar is used to provide the working hours as the basis for calculating each of the target dates. If this was set to a calendar and shifts, which had work periods of 0800 to 1800 Monday to Friday, then in our example, the target start would have been calculated as 0900 on the Friday. If you're going to use a working time calendar, then the SLA commitments should be in hours, as a commitment of 5 days would be converted to 120 hours, i.e. 5 times 24. And 120 hours on a working week may calculate a target date in 3 weeks' time, when 1 week was expected. If there is no calculation calendar, then the applies to calendar will be used if it is present. But it is good practice to always specify a calculation calendar, unless 24 hours a day will provide the correct target dates. The version of a service level agreements application in Base Maximo only uses the reported date as the seed date and time on which to calculate target dates. The service provider version provides more flexibility. In the organization's application and the action SLA options, there are some settings that allow you to choose between applying a single or multiple SLAs, and if you choose the multiple option, then to apply SLAs based on ranking or commitment stringency. The default is to apply a single SLA, and this is based on ranking. If you choose to apply multiple SLAs, this allows you to separate the SLA commitments onto separate SLAs, which provides you a greater degree of flexibility. But with it, you will have a larger number of SLAs and potential then for undesired results. Consider this: when an SLA is applied, the target start can only be calculated from one applied SLA. The target finish could be applied from a different SLA. In both cases, by default, the SLA to be applied will be the one with the highest ranking. You can see the SLAs that were applied using the View SLAs action. If there are two or more SLAs with a target date and they have the same ranking value, then the one that is applied cannot be predicted. Hence, if you are using multiple SLAs based on ranking, then you should ensure this situation does not apply. When multiple SLAs are being applied based on commitment stringency, then the SLA that would give the earliest target date will be applied. The View SLAs action, which is based on the object SLA records, shows the calculated field of contact time, response time, and resolution time. You can see which was applied by comparing it with the target dates. If you do use the related SLAs tab to have supporting SLAs, then the commitments that you have internally or with vendors may be more stringent than the one you have with your customer. You therefore need to make sure that they are either applied on different records, for example, a WOA activity or work order, or they have a lower ranking, which means that they would not be applied to a service request, leaving the higher ranked customer SLA to be applied. I hope you enjoyed this podcast, and I look forward to seeing you back on the next episode when we will look at monitoring service level agreements. The music is called Duck in the Alley from the talented group called Track Tribe. Please check them out on tracktribe.com, all one word. Until another time, goodbye.